Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, did as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them.
Heavenly Father, your words are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey. Please, Father, as we hear your words tonight, give us ears to hear and accept them. And please, Father, transform us into the likeness of your Son. Might we believe your promises, trust your words, and persevere in faith. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us for the last month or so, you may well realise that we're doing something a little bit different this evening, because for the last few weeks we've been in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, following the life of Abraham. Abraham, the promise receiver. Abraham, the active believer. Now, we're going to return to Genesis next week. But this evening, we've leapt to the other end of the Bible and the book of Hebrews. However, one thing remains the same. Our passage this evening is all about Abraham. See, throughout the Bible, Abraham is held up as an example to us, a role model for us. And so this evening, we're going to look at one passage where the life of Abraham is reflected on and lessons are drawn from it. And it's the passage that Pam read for us, and it comes from the book of Hebrews. Let's then have a little think about the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is a New Testament letter written after Jesus, and it was written to encourage believers to persevere in faith. Or in the words of Hebrews chapter 4, to hold firmly to the faith they profess. It's a letter that was very probably written to Jewish followers of Jesus, for whom believing in Jesus meant being outsiders, perhaps being insulted and maybe even persecuted. Now, people for whom believing in Jesus meant, to some extent, saying goodbye to the physical, tangible things they'd been used to, things like the temple, priests, the city of Jerusalem, and trusting instead in unseen realities and unrealized, yet to be realized, promises. And so they needed encouraging, spurring on. And so do we. Because my guess is that if you're a follower of Jesus here today, well, then you will have had moments where you felt like an outsider in our current culture and your culture back at home. Moments where you've realized I'm living my life based on unseen realities and yet to be realized promises, things coming in the future. but not the sort of things I can always grab hold of and grasp today. Well, Hebrews encourages both them and us to persevere in faith. It's worth it. And one of the ways that Hebrews does that is through examples. In particular, Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter we're in today, is brimful of wonderful role models. And role models are just an amazing encouragement to us, aren't they? Firstly, because they show us how to live by faith. And secondly, because they show us it is possible. It is possible to live by faith. And living by faith is precisely what every one of the role models in Hebrews chapter 11 shares in common. If you've got your Bible open in Hebrews 11, you can just sort of cast your eyes down the page. Verse 4, by faith Abel, verse 5, by faith Enoch, verse 7, by faith Noah, verse 8, by faith Abraham. I could go on. 18 times in one chapter, we're told someone did something by faith. Living by faith is what every one of these wonderful role models shares in common, including Abraham. Wonder if you spotted his example of faith in verse 8 at the beginning of our passage. It said this, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And this is recounting, reliving the story that we saw way back in November, I think it was, in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham was 75 years old, and God told him to get up and go. What did Abraham do? Well, Abraham trusted God, got up and went, taking his whole family with him, away from everyone and everything they knew, to a new land where they would live as outsiders. And Hebrews here tells us that they didn't even know quite exactly where they were going. But God gave Abraham a promise, and he went. He trusted God. And our passage this evening encourages us to follow in his footsteps of faith. In particular, and this is the big focus, I think, of verses 8 to 16, what did Abraham's faith look like? Well, it looked like believing in God's promise of a better home, a heavenly city. Abraham trusted that he wasn't home yet. Wonder if you spotted that in our reading. Take a look, beginning at verse 9. By faith, he, that's Abraham, made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. See, when Abraham came to Canaan, the promised land, he didn't settle down and build a house, you know, get the architects over, lay down the concrete foundations, or whatever they do back in that day. No, Abraham pitched a tent, a temporary, portable dwelling. And not just for 1 year, but for 100 years until his death. And so did his son Isaac, and so did his grandson Jacob. They lived in the promised land for all of those years like strangers in a foreign country. I can still remember a family trip to France. I reckon I was about 15 at the time. And my mum sent me to buy some bread. And though I was studying French at the time, my French was, I'm ashamed to admit, very poor. And so I walked into the shop, approached the counter, pointed at a baguette and said, un pain. So far, so good. The shopkeeper returned with one baguette. It was at this point that I realized I actually really needed two. My mind went blank. And so I said in my best French accent, another one. At the time, I was deeply embarrassed and ashamed. I'm now able to look back at it and laugh. but I felt embarrassed. I felt awkward. I was very obviously a complete stranger in a foreign land. And that's a pretty trivial example, really. And I know a number of people here will have genuinely actually lived as strangers in a foreign land. For some, that will be your experience today. Well, Abraham spent 100 years living as a stranger in a foreign country. From the time he received God's promises, got up and went, to his death. And the question is why? Why didn't Abraham settle down, build a more permanent residence? Why didn't he make the promised land his home? Well, verse 10 tells us, doesn't it? Abraham didn't settle down, make the promised land his home, because he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham was looking forward to something better than the promised land. Abraham was looking forward to a city built by God. See, Abraham's true home was never the promised land. It was the city that God had promised him. And so Abraham spent his whole life trusting God's promise of a better home, a heavenly city. Abraham trusted he wasn't home yet. And the same is true for the other role models from Abraham's day. And just look at verse 13. It says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they'd have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, they all died without ever living in a place they truly viewed as home. They stayed in tents for their lives. They didn't view the country they came from as home. And we know that because they didn't go back. And they didn't view the promised land as their home. We know that because they settled down in tents. In fact, there was no place on earth which they viewed as home. Why? Well, because they knew God had promised them a far better home, a heavenly home. Again, look at verse 16. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has provided, prepared a city for them. See, God's people have never and will never be truly at home in this world as it currently is, because God has promised his people a better home. A home without any of the things that spoil this world, like suffering, sickness, sin, and death. A home that will be revealed in all its glory on Judgment Day when Jesus returns and brings his people home. A home designed and built by the master architect who designed the whole of this earth. A home designed and built by God. If you are a believer here this evening, then you are not home yet. Wonder if you can imagine how much knowing this would have helped. And one of the original recipients of this letter. And as a Jewish believer following Jesus, you experience insults and hardship. And friends of yours, we learn this from the previous chapter in Hebrews, friends of yours have been imprisoned, persecuted. People who used to be your friends perhaps no longer even speak to you. You feel like a stranger in a place you used to call home. There are moments when you wonder whether following Jesus perhaps is even worth it because you're an outsider. And then you receive this letter and you read about Abraham and you realize God's people have always been strangers in a foreign land. Your experience isn't abnormal, it's normal, entirely to be expected, because this world, as it currently is, it's not your home. In fact, God has promised you a better home, a home that he himself will build, a home that will make your current house feel like a hovel. Is this not also a truth that we need reminded of regularly? God has promised us a better home, a heavenly city, and we are not home yet. It's a truth we need reminding of when it feels like life would perhaps be better, and were we not believers. And perhaps we look at the lives of friends who seem very at home in this world right now, and we compare our lives with theirs, and we wonder whether they've got the better deal. It's a truth we need reminding of when our country or our culture makes following Jesus hard. Perhaps there's very direct hostility and aggression, laws passed against Christians, individual believers facing disciplinary action at work. It's not just the sort of blatant opposition, though, that makes persevering in faith hard. It's also the constant drip, drip, drip of articles, opinion pieces that suggest perhaps that traditional Christian values shouldn't really be tolerated these days, at least not in our country. It's the conversations you're perhaps part of at drinks after work with friends in the school playground, where someone says, "Oh, I can't believe anyone would think that." And you want to say, "I do," but you're frightened what they'll think. It's that general awareness, well, that you're different to those around you. You're a stranger in a foreign land. This is a truth we need reminding of when life is hard and we feel despondent. When life is good and we feel complacent. When life is hectic and we feel oh so distracted. When life is empty and we feel dejected. When life is intense and we feel completely overwhelmed. When life is dull and we feel utterly underwhelmed. God has promised us a better home and we are not home yet. See, St. Albans is not our true home, our final home, and neither is Hatfield, Harpenden or Hemel Hempstead, Wheat Hampstead, Watford or Welling Garden City. We may well have British passports, but the United Kingdom is not our true and final home. In fact, neither is this current world, because the moment someone starts following Jesus, they become a citizen of God's city. Heaven doesn't become our home only when we die. No, the heavenly city is our home right now. We're just not there yet. And it is a far, far better home. I wonder, though, whether this might just be my experience, but I wonder whether it's true for many of us, that we sometimes struggle to get quite as excited as we like to get excited about our heavenly home. Why? Well, there'll be a number of reasons. I wonder whether one of them is that we picture it all wrong, as a sort of place of fluffy clouds and harps. But I doubt anybody wants to spend an eternity strumming on a cloud. And that is absolutely not what God has promised our heavenly city is like. In particular, it is a city that God has promised us. Now, we sometimes, I think today, think of cities as unsafe, frightening, hostile places. Certainly that may well be the sort of picture you get listening to the news about things happening in London sometimes. But that's not how Abraham would have viewed a city. No, cities are places of community and belonging, of safety and prosperity. I think even today we still kind of get that, don't we? Can you imagine, though, how wonderful a city built by God will be? I wonder if there's ever been a place that you really felt at home, where you felt that sort of deep down feeling of, I belong here. And Mr., I wonder if you could picture that place. If not, why not picture the sort of place that you really would feel at home? And one place that springs to my mind is my parents' lounge in winter. And it's a wooden panelled room with a log burner. And in the winter months, my dad would light a fire, we'd shut the lounge door, and we would bask in the comfy heat. Comfortable, secure, happy, homely. That feeling of being at home, of belonging, is but a tiny glimpse of what God's city will be like. God has promised us a better home. But right now we can't see that home, can we? Whereas the world around us is very tangible and real. And what's more, we have to wait for that home, don't we? We have to wait until Jesus returns. And waiting is hard. And therefore, we need to keep talking about our home, do we not? Encouraging each other that we are not home yet and that our home is worth the wait. And why not, if you're a believer, tell someone else what excites you most about your future home? And why not, whoever you are, ask someone else what it is that excites them? And perhaps that might be a good thing to do this evening. And what's more, we need to keep thinking about our home, picturing it in all of its glory. I wonder if you've ever daydreamed about the home that God is building. And why not spend some time this week picturing it? But you might be thinking, how do I do that? It's not easy. It's not something I've ever done before, perhaps. How do I go about picturing a heavenly home? How can I imagine something when I'm not entirely sure what it's like? Well, the wonderful news is that God has given us passages in the Bible which describe our home for us. And perhaps most famously, there's Revelation chapter 21, right at the end of the Bible. It says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And why not spend some time imagining a world with no mourning or crying or pain? A world where God dwells among his people. And why not ask a trusted friend, one of the pastoral team or elders, to recommend a passage that they find wonderfully, beautifully helpful at picturing their heavenly home? God has promised us a better home, a heavenly city, but we are not home yet. Which raises perhaps one more question. And given we are not home yet, can we trust God to keep his promise? Will he get us home? Well, yes. And because the final thing, briefly, we learn from these verses is that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Just look at the verses we skipped over, verses 11 and 12. "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. See, when God promised Abraham numerous descendants, he was well over 75. As good as dead is the way the passage puts it. And his wife Sarah was unable to have children. It looked like an impossible promise. Humanly speaking, it was an impossible promise, but God keeps his promises. Abraham became a father at the age of 100. God keeps his promises. And if you want proof, well, then all you have to do is look around this room. And because God promised Abraham numerous descendants, and this room is full of them, because Abraham's descendants, children of Abraham, are believers. Today, literally, millions of Christians will gather together around the world, every single one of them, proof that God keeps his promises. And if he kept the promise to give Abraham numerous descendants, then he can and he will keep his promise to give his people a better home. It is therefore absolutely and always worth persevering in faith. It is worth feeling like an outsider, a stranger in a foreign land. It is worth being different to the country or culture around you. It is worth persevering through insults and hardship, even persecution and imprisonment. And it is worth it because God keeps his promises. When we walk through the gates of the heavenly city and that feeling of finally being truly home washes over us, it will be worth every moment of hardship and hurt. And there in the city, we will meet people like Abraham, who left home age 75 and spent 100 years living in a tent, a stranger in a foreign land. And we'll meet people like Noah, who must have looked a fool as he built an ark. We'll meet people like Moses, who could have had all the wealth of Egypt, but chose instead to be mistreated with God's people. And we will meet people like Daniel and David, who were thrown to the lions, went around hiding in caves, all because they trusted God. And all of them will say, it was worth it, because now we are truly home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Sovereign Lord, we thank you that you have promised us a better home, a heavenly city, and we thank and praise you because you keep all your promises. Please, Father, help us to follow in Abraham's footsteps of faith, to trust your promise of a better home, to trust that we are not home yet, and to look forward to that day when Jesus will return and he will welcome us home. And we pray all of these things in his name. Amen. Well, we're now going to sing a song which is all about our future hope. And just listen to the final words of the final verse. They say this: when suffering cease and sorrows die, and every longing satisfied, then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. Let's sing together. Strength for every passing day.
Lord.